Well, Australia's First Nations population is among the most vulnerable to COVID infection, but Indigenous vaccination rates in some parts of the country is far below the general population. Dr. Marlo Coates is the Acting Executive Director of Medical Services for Torres and Cape Hospital and Health Service, which is in far north Queensland. He joins us from Thursday Island this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on again.
The rate of vaccination for First Nations people in parts of Queensland is lower than 25%. You've had teams doing vaccination clinics across the Cape, I think, in the last few weeks. Are you seeing an uptick? Is it having much impact?
Yeah, look, we're getting some really variable stats across our region, and you pinned it there by saying in parts of Queensland. Anyone who's been out to remote to many Indigenous communities know that no two are alike. And all require their own, nuances, approaches, community leader driven responses to anything that's going on in those towns. Across Torres and Cape, we've got two communities that are over 80% double vaccinated now. One's over 94% first vaccination dose, that's for age 12 and above. And there are some other similar, really strong stories across the patch and across Indigenous Australia where communities have come together, had good leaders, good spokesmen, they've engaged with factual information around healthcare, particularly the vaccine. And they're doing the best to protect their communities. But as you say, there are also pockets where vaccination rates are very low. And even in our region, we've got some in the low 20% double vaccinated. At this stage of the vaccine campaign, it's not about a blanket rollout of offering everywhere in an indiscriminate fashion. We need to move in and engage with those communities, be led by their leaders, their council, their prescribed body corporate leaders, the patriarchal and matriarchal lines, and get down to the one-on-one family or religious line discussions to have factual conversations about the vaccine. So moving to a much more targeted community-driven approach to try and really support those areas with lower percentages of first or second vaccines. But that's not to undermine some of the fantastic work and great work out there by Indigenous communities and leaders at all level of government who are supporting this. And I think we need to champion some of those sites as well to show that there are some positives in this for protection for what is inevitable now that the Queensland borders have a date for opening up again.
Can we be clear, though, is supply no longer a problem?
The government's been very good at ensuring supply will be guaranteed to these vulnerable populations, certainly in Queensland and up in Torres and Cape. We've had that guarantee since the very start, particularly around the risk with the Papua New Guinean border to the north. And this program's featured us a couple of times around that topic, which has been fantastic for getting the word out. The bigger issue around supply is not so much that the vaccine is available, it's that you need to get vaccine off into very remote regions. So as opposed to a capital city...
That's what you mean.
Yeah, the logistics piece is very hard. You can't store Pfizer or Moderna permanently in many of these smaller communities because you don't have the ultra-low temperature freezers available. It means you need to fly in, fly out with it or drive in, drive out, depending on location. And it means only temporary periods where the vaccine is available as opposed to every day of the week in many of the capital cities. Now, that's a challenge, but it's one of the challenges that those providing vaccines in these sites are really working hard on, particularly us. And this has been a huge logistic piece since March and will continue for several more months.
Dr. Coates, we're about 30 seconds from the news. Queensland does now have a date for opening up. Rates as low as 20% in some communities. How at risk are they?
Very is the answer. We need to do our best to prepare for that 19th of November and then December opening dates so that we don't have the same number of primary and then secondary victims from either catching COVID or being a loved one of somebody who did catch COVID and had a significant consequence, particularly the risk of passing away. So absolutely vital that we get above those percentages in the next few months, and the clock is now ticking with the Queensland borders open.
Dr. Marlo Coates. Yeah, we get it. Thank you very much indeed for your time this morning and good luck with the rest of the rollout.